In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You see the Bleacher Report redraft or the re-grade on the trade?
I did.
That's my problem with NBA media.
Go ahead.
There's way too much galaxy brain going on. Do you understand what galaxy brain is?
I hear that phrase a lot.
A lot of people say it.
I don't necessarily know what it means.
It's where you're trying too hard. You're trying to be insightful. You're trying to act smarter than what you really are. It's basically what galaxy brain is. Because they did a regrade of the trade with the Cavs with Spider Miller, Mitchell, and with Lowry Market. Spider Miller was a football coach. He is a football coach in Stark County. Donovan, Spider Mitchell, and Lowry Markkanen, and they gave the Jazz an A, they gave the Cavs a B+. Now, while B+ is still good, I'm going, come on,
guys. Yeah, B+ this is really good.
This is outrageous. This is something that is not real, and I can't see this, and I don't know what type of galaxy brain that we have. That's why I brought up the case. I'm going, why you would say that Lowry Markkanen, the Jazz, effectively won this trade. I mean, if you're getting an A over a B+, that's a win. How could one say that? Help me. Maybe it's not galaxy brain. Maybe I need to take that statement back.
Well, first of all, B plus is what we got. I mean, I think that's really good. I think there were people thinking that when we got Donovan Mitchell, he would just be gone in 2 years, and then how would you grade that trade? Would it be a C, depending on what you got for Donovan Mitchell? So B plus. Hey, anytime you can make a trade and get a B plus, I think that's really good. So you're annoyed that what, Utah got a higher...
I don't understand how Utah got a higher grade than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
There should be some exception taken with that.
Thank you very much. They didn't
make the playoffs either year.
Well, there are so many times where I sit there and I read this crap and I go, okay, what am I not thinking of? And it makes me, especially with the NBA, I don't get it as much with the NFL. Of course, I'm the type of guy that gets excited and starts yelling over Cade York trade. So who the hell am I? I don't do it over baseball. It's really what you see is what you get a lot of times in baseball. Basketball, anytime there's a move, there's this big, and I've always attacked the making love to basketball that some people do. There's this big philosophical movement to try to explain away certain things that certain teams have done, and then in some world they can find a way. I'm like, no, Utah finished 31-51 last year. I don't give a damn about what Lowry Markkanen brings to the table or what they could trade for him. I got Donovan Mitchell out of it. Have we or have we not raised our expectation for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Just because you're more heartbroken at the end of the season does not mean that the Cavs lost that trade.
Well,
their expectations are higher.
I mean,
the other expectations are lower.
I don't ever consider a B plus a losing grade.
It's not a losing grade, but if you're saying that Utah, but they're effectively saying that Utah won the trade, Anthony.
Well, they're saying Utah won the trade in the same way that you would have said that the Oklahoma City Thunder had probably won the Paul George trade before they even started winning games. Remember, the Thunder were bad, I think, for the next 2 or 3 years. And by the way, Utah's trying to be bad again. They're going to be bad again this year because they want the top pick in the draft.
So they got the guy who's arguably all NBA, which I'm not taking anything away even from Lowry Markkanen. Someone has to score the points on bad basketball teams. But he's arguably All NBA.
He's close, right?
Yeah.
He's an all-star. That's
why it's arguable. Yeah. He's an all-star. He's arguably all NBA. But they're on a bad team, so he helps them lose so they win the trade.
No, it's
because they can draft players that we don't even know who they are yet.
It's because they already got a stud player out of that trade. It wasn't just draft picks. And then they still have the draft picks. And then they still have Colin Sexton, who's been all right, okay, I guess, well, in that trade.
Okay,
so
you and Hiram can go ahead and have that conversation because I'm not going to do it.
So it's the Oklahoma City trade. Now they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out of that Paul George trade, but again, they were bad for the next 2 to 3 years, and now look where the Thunder are.
They got
the Jazz are poised to now be that team, especially if they get the number one overall pick.
But
this
the draft
year.
Picks are just good ideas. We don't know what. I'm sorry, I'm holding up my hands like I'm giving you a stop sign. These are like behind doors. We don't know what's behind the doors right now. So they're just good ideas. We've done this a million times. Like, hey, we got all these draft picks. Yeah, well, you know what? If you draft Trent Richardson with it, I guess you're going to suck up the room anyway.
You're saying that when you are trading and tanking in the NBA, you can never get a good grade because you're going to be bad for 2 to 3 years.
I don't think you can grade it.
You're just mad they didn't get an NA. They got a grade.
No, I'm mad because they got a higher grade than us because you're basing it on something that's for the future that we don't even know. Like, I'm looking at the Cavs right now. I see the Cavs in a completely different light than I did before the trade for Donovan Mitchell. I've raised my expectations. I think it's now possible to get to an Eastern Conference Finals where before I thought that there was a stone ceiling on that team before that. Now things got to get better. Guys have to develop on this team, but we are kind of who we are right now. For Utah, yeah, they may draft the next Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They may draft the next Anthony Bennett. So I can't say that they won the trade just because they have a bunch of good ideas.
It's funny. I'm on a different Jazz website, and they said a Donovan Mitchell trade, the Jazz's greatest trade in franchise history.
Oh, for the love of God.
And again, they're saying it because
that's
not
the stuff
only...
we used to tell each other about Browns draft picks back in the day when they were terrible.
But they're saying it not only because they got an incredible haul in draft picks, but they also got a real player who is incredible.
You're talking about Lowry.
And Lowry marketed. Okay. And not only has he been really good, I mean, what is he that we've been chasing for forever?
But was
as
he
a Cavs team.
But was he or was
he's
he not?
He's got size. He's does got have length. Size.
But
he's,
was he,
he's actually a very versatile player.
But answer this. Was he or was he not in spinning off trade talks to be spun off this last trade deadline back in February?
Yeah,
he was a part of that.
And then he played so well over the last 2 years that they signed him to an extension.
But there was also the possibility that they could move him for something even better.
I don't know. To me, they were tanking, so they were never going to be good these last few years. So I'm not going to hold that against them. That was part of their plan. And then they happened to get somebody really good in Lowry Markkanen, who's been way better than I think anybody thought. Even Kobe Altman, who I thought was an interesting move at the time.
Certainly, but he's not. He is a different player than Donovan Mitchell, clearly. But overall, I believe Donovan Mitchell is the better player.
Are they going to use these draft picks to build around Lowry Markkanen, or are they going to use them to go in a different direction from Lowry Markkanen?
And that's exactly the point of all this.
They're doing what Oklahoma City did. They're stockpiling picks, which will turn into talent, and then you never know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, but if Lowry's not a part of it, then you can't use him as...
Thank you.
What do you mean if he's not a part of it?
If he's not a part of the future, if they're stockpiling these picks and in 5 years they're this totally different roster construction, then how are you counting him right now at all as a win because they aren't winning with him?
Like Donovan
he's a good player right now, true, but they're not trying to win, so that doesn't count. And if 3 years from now he's not a part of their core... He shouldn't count.
I mean,
either.
If they end up getting Cooper Flagg and then what other picks that they turn into out of what they got in the Donovan Mitchell trade with
so
those Cavs picks, I think they'll be feeling really good.
We're doing a lot of futures projections.
Yeah, it is.
Do you believe
what that trade is? You don't trade away Donovan Mitchell for the present.
You would
trade away for the future.
Hold on.
If they were for the present, they would have never traded.
Hold on.
Donovan
you
Mitchell.
Would. So you right now are saying that Utah would get a higher grade than the Cavs.
I think it's a 10 out of 10. I agree with their site. You could not have done better than to get those draft picks and Lowry Markkanen. That's an incredible haul.
216-474-0092. I will hear a dissenting opinion. I think you're crazy. I do not think that they won this trade or they should get a higher grade than the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'll listen to anybody.
Sexton had a really good year. I mean, you could say Sexton had a better year than Darius Garland.
Do you believe that they should get a higher grade in Utah than what the Cavs got in the trade with Donovan Mitchell and with Lowry Markkanen and with Colin Sexton? 216-474-0092. We pick it back up on the other side. So you're taking Lauri Markkanen over Donovan Mitchell is what you're telling everybody?
No. No, I'm not.
Then how are you saying that the Utah Jazz technically, in this case, won the trade, got a higher grade than the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I mean, if it would have been
trade.
A Lauri Markkanen for Donovan Mitchell swap, I would have called Kobe Altman the GM of the year in professional sports.
He finished second a couple of times.
He did.
So.
He did. No, I just think, first of all, we do grades all the time. You're saying we can't do a grade for Utah at all. Well, that's what we do immediately when trades are made. We do draft grades.
And I think they're a fallacy
grades.
Then, and I think they're a fallacy now.
The other side of it, I'm getting some people texting me. They're not courageous enough to tweet. They're saying, are we sure the Cavs should be a B+? They only went from 44 wins without Donovan Mitchell to
if they're not gonna
one
have
playoff
the...
series win, and you know what they win this year. And they had a bunch of injuries. They won 48 games this year.
If they're not going to have the pills to tweet it, then I can say people are texting me too.
I think it does matter if we're comparing the two teams. What grade should the Cavs have?
I would say, I would still say it's a B+.
You traded all these assets and you only got four more wins and one playoff series win.
That's why it would be a B+. But my expectations were raised.
You said they were championship expectations. We are... How much closer are we today than we were then?
No, I said Eastern Conference Finals expectations.
All right, how much closer are we today than we were before we made the trade?
Probably the same. Oh, no.
3 wins away from it.
Wait, are you saying before the trade they were Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I'm saying...
No.
I'm saying the point of making the Donovan Mitchell trade was to make you into contenders, right? We've talked about that to death.
Eastern Conference Finals is
but
a contender.
Do the Boston Celtics feel like the Cavs are any closer?
No.
Do the other good teams right now in the Eastern Conference? Like Philly just got Paul George.
You don't think they feel like... They're closer than they were before.
Well, of course,
Donovan Mitchell.
Certainly,
of course, they're closer.
To acknowledge that they exist.
But was it worth trading a near all NBA player, Colin Sexton, the draft picks, first round pick?
Like at that time,
right now, now you did get to re-sign. Now, had Mitchell not re-signed, I think
would have been. I wouldn't even have brought it up. I would have tried to ignore this the entire way through because this would have been a losing argument. But since he did sign, and I got. It's going to sound bad. I traded away. I didn't get rid of anybody. I traded away a guy who really talks a lot of trash, fills up the bucket. I don't think he's ever going to be a main cog on a championship team, but he plays hard enough that he could be a sixth or seventh man on a really good basketball team in Colin Sexton. I traded him away. I got Donovan Mitchell, who actually does have what it takes to be on a really contending basketball team. Yeah, I think it ended up being a good trade. Before the trade, I thought that there was a marble ceiling up there that they could never break through. Now I think that they can be an Eastern Conference Finals team. The reasoning that's given to me about the Utah Jazz winning this trade or getting a higher grade in this trade to me is preposterous. I don't even know who these ideas that they are going to have in these future draft picks are going to be. And they're more than likely going to be later draft picks, as somebody pointed out to me on social media, brought to you by Shiba Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, that they're going to be later first-round draft picks because the Cavs are going to be a good basketball team. So you're looking at picks in the 20s. Yeah. So they're not necessarily going to be the best pick. So you get all these picks, and I know they're tagging it out so they'll get to the top of the draft. But we're talking about ideas, not players
there. You don't think a team should ever get a draft grade at all when they trade their superstar?
When they just get good ideas out of it? Yeah, that's all draft picks
are. Oklahoma City, when they traded Paul George, there should not have been a draft grade for like 4 years. Even though everybody knew it was an amazing trade.
I gave any sort of grade, but no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it takes time for these things. I'm sure you and whoever's texting you, your person who is the Wizard of Oz.
No, I'm saying so far it's
thinks
been,
I'm stupid.
I'm
but
saying so far.
I think that makes a lot of common sense.
I think so far it's been a really good trade for the Cavs. I think it's been as good of a trade as you could have ever made for a team like Utah who Donovan Mitchell didn't want to be there. And not only did they get all those draft picks, they also got Lauri Markkanen and Colin Sexton, who I said he had a formidable year. I've never been a huge Colin Sexton fan.
But he's
proven himself now over time to be a legitimate weapon.
It's not the worst trade in basketball history for the Jazz, far from it. But it's not a better trade for them than it was for the Cavs.
So what grade would you give that trade for Utah?
I gotta see where the other picks are, so I'll say it's a C right now.
Okay.
I gotta see how the picks figure out.
I think it's spectacular.
How many trades have the Browns made for draft picks in the past under old regimes that we had? That man, great. We're kicking ass. We're gonna take names. They end up taking some terrible ass player who they don't even know what he was doing before. I mean, we made the trade, and then we took a guy who they didn't even look at before the draft. They just wanted him to return punts. Ended up being worse than Johnny Manziel. Great. How'd that trade work out for us? So because of that prism, I have to think about this. Anthony in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. So let's just look at the essence of it, right? So, Anthony, you would never – you would say Donovan Mitchell is a better player than Lowry Martin.
Yeah, he is.
So right then and there, the draft grade for the Cavaliers should be better than what the Jazz have. Secondly,
well, I disagree, but that's not secondly, that's not well, how you grade these things. You grade it for the haul that you get in addition to the player.
No, Donovan Mitchell
was.
Would you rather have those draft picks than Donovan Mitchell?
And Donovan Mitchell was not going to stay there. They were going to lose him for nothing.
I don't care.
Well, then you're not participating in the exercise as constituted.
Let me make mine.
You're not making a very good one, Anthony.
I think you should let Anthony make his point, Anthony.
That's not how NBA trades work.
It doesn't matter.
The disgruntled superstar that is leaving is not how you
me could, let, and not let me God. Make my point
because it's a very poor point. You've poorly crafted it so
point.
Far.
You haven't even heard the rest of it
because I don't need to. You just said player for player. Hey, that's not what the trade was. You're doing a very bad job, so I'm going to talk over you. It's unfortunate you're not allowed to get your point out. You failed this exercise. Just rely on
Ken going forward. Why are you doing that?
I've got it. Great solution, Anthony. Go on the Odyssey app, all right?
Yeah.
We're going to give you 30 seconds. Go on there. Say what you need to say. Get your point out quick. Send it over to me. I'll try to get it in before the end of the show.
Why are you calling him? Forgive him getting kicked in the face. I wanted to hear what his point of view was.
He
did agree with me, but still.
He probably thought in the Paul George trade that wasn't won by Oklahoma City the day of when all smart people around the NBA knew that was a haul to get for Paul George. And now how silly would Anthony feel now looking back at that if that were his opinion?
I know that you're giving me the Paul George example, but they didn't have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander when they made the trade. So he ended up, did you think
Shai Gilgeous was part of the trade?
Did you think that
he was the Lowry Marketing in the trade? They got Shai Gilgeous and they got the draft picks.
Whoop, my bad. Bob and Euclid, I forgot. Hello. Whoops.
Okay, there's just no doubt whatsoever in any universe of rationality that the Jazz didn't get the best of the deal. They got the draft picks. Every other team in the league is getting better.
You guys and your draft picks, for the love of Christ, I am in 2013 Browns land all over again. You guys and your draft picks. Bob, they haven't paid off yet. We don't even know. Can you name me anybody in the upcoming drafts for the possibilities for the Utah Jazz?
No, but at least...
No, you can't. No, you can't. At least, Bob, at least in the NFL.
Allow me to respond, sir. You've been yelling for the last 15 minutes.
I mean, it is the Ken Carmen show.
Wait, I didn't even want him to do it. I didn't even want you to do that. He's telling me I'm spreading ignorance. I'm telling him that he doesn't even know who the upcoming players are in the draft. At least when the Browns were doing it, we knew who the possible football players were going to be. I'm spreading the ignorance here.
I do think one of the issues.
We don't even know who the hell they could draft here over the next couple of years.
One of the issues and why you have to take.
The guy they like is in high school right now.
One of the issues and why you have to take into account the draft picks in this draft is because the upcoming draft is supposed to be absolutely loaded. And the Cavs have not had. This has been one of the struggles with this deal. We've not been able to get better because we're essentially capped out. And they haven't really had a way in free agency, as you're seeing, with not knowing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What to do with Okoro? We're still sitting here wondering, like, it does help to have draft picks get better. Like, Golden State was able to start to build the way they did because they turned the draft picks into amazing players. You're right. I don't know if Utah is going to do that, but, man, are they going to have
do
more
sweat. Do you believe in their general manager, the Utah Jazz general manager?
Danny Ainge? I mean, I've heard of him. Yeah, he's one of the great GMs in all of sport.
So that's one. I'm saying that that's something that I'm giving you a point here in my own argument that I'm saying that that's one thing that goes for them. He is a guy who loves his draft picks. He is a guy who can't execute his draft picks. So if we argue about this in 2 years and they have a great young budding superstar and they maybe either have Lowry marketing or knowing Danny Ainge, they were going to spin him off for something else for all we know, that they will have won the trade. If we can't get past the Eastern Conference Finals or we can only get to the Eastern Conference Finals and we get thumped by Boston, we have the right to new information, and I will say overall that they have lost that trade. But as of right now, they have not lost that trade. You're the one who said it yourself. Wait long enough, and everybody will be right or wrong. It doesn't matter.
I want to be clear here. I said at the time I absolutely would have done the deal for Donovan Mitchell. I still would do it. I do think that at the time I thought we'd be closer. I thought we'd be closer to getting to the NBA Finals than we are today.
I feel bad that you gave Bob the sweet chin music.
I feel bad that we can't have civil conversations on the radio with callers.
Okay, this call, I don't know what he's going to say. I'm going to be measured. All right? This is low voice Ken. Mark in Shaker Heights, welcome to the fan. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? This is Coach Mark. Listen, so first of all, Anthony's my assistant coach of my youth football team, and he goes to my church. So
Anthony, is that Anthony in Cleveland who called in? Right?
Yeah, Anthony and Cleveland.
I'm sorry. Please tell Anthony I'm sorry that he was so rudely treated by my co-host. I apologize.
He's not getting back up from me because, listen, I don't believe that the Cavs really won that trade. And this is why. At that time, we were a feared team. If I'm not mistaken, we had a serious win streak. Then the wheels fell off with the injuries. We had Markkanen. We had Mobley. We had Sexton, but more so Garland. At the time, Mobley was averaging about 16 points. Markkanen was given almost 15 points. We was rebounded at the Wazoo. We were a feared team, and we were on the rise. We were being talked about.
No,
and
we weren't.
When you look at the potential, yes, we were.
No, we
and
weren't.
When you look at Stephen A. Smith.
No, we weren't. Stephen A. Smith.
I watched First Take. I train app. You know, I train Denzel. I train all these football
Congratulations
players.
On all your success.
Congratulations.
Mornings, I could take my time in the mornings at 10 a.m. I watched First Take. We were a talk.
You can go back and watch it.
We were a talk. So all I'm saying is, for what we received, a Donovan Mitchell, who can score a lot of points, but at the time, Garland, those guys, Mark. I think Donovan Mitchell was scoring 3 more points than what he was averaging.
Mark.
21 to 26.
Mark.
So I'm just telling you, you can say what you want to say.
My tone of voice. I'm not taking this as if I don't respect your opinion or don't take it seriously. I promised you I would keep my tone down. I do.
I'm Coach Moore, you got to respect me.
I do respect your opinion, but I have to let you go because we have to get Mary Kay in here next. The only thing I can say is that, yeah, you had Colin Sexton at the time, but Lima was the one who said it himself, so he knows what I'm saying is true, is that you at best were a play-in team that other teams made fun of. They made fun of Colin Sexton to his face. Anthony, did they not?
They did.
Thank you.
I do remember 2022, Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst did a podcast where they named their best futures. Which team had the best future? All the young teams, they thought the Cavs did.
Can I stop talking
Giannis
like this now?
They're going to have to start watching tapes on these guys because they didn't believe in them. He ate chicken wings.
I sound like a man who is, I'd want to hit right now. Can I stop talking like this?
No.
Okay. I'm going to keep talking like this. Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now. As we are on Deshaun Watson Watch yet again.
Stop it.
Thank you.
Should we play the reaction for Mary Kay that we had when the Cade York deal was maybe some other time?
I was actually very excited, Mary Kay, that Andrew Berry turned a signed kicker into a 7th-round pick. But there were plenty of people who were quick to point out, Andrew turned a 4th-round pick into a 7th-round pick. Congratulations to him. Mary Kay, what say you?
What say me is that he turned a, at the time, failed 4th-round pick into one of the best kickers in the NFL in Dustin Hopkins for basically nothing in a trade with the Chargers.
Ooh.
And that they've been in tremendous shape. And he also made him tied as the fourth highest paid kicker in the NFL in the offseason. So the story had a very happy ending.
Mary Kay, she was ready for it. Mary Kay was ready for it. I loved it. Thank you very much, Mary Kay. Thank you very much for giving me an out. Now, if you will excuse me, I have to go fight these people on the internet, so Lima will be conducting the rest of the interview. Thanks.
My next part of this is now I don't know if I want to play Dustin Hopkins at all in this preseason because we got to keep him healthy for week one. It's the same status that we have Deshaun Watson in, apparently.
Well, they'll have to figure out what they want to do. I would imagine that he'll kick in Seattle on Saturday night, but you never know. Maybe they do want to keep him healthy. He's been nursing an injury, and we haven't really seen him. Cade York has handled all the kicking chores, so we'll have to see how that goes. But certainly, Dustin Hopkins came in here and solidified that spot, and I think that has been probably one of the best things that Andrew Berry has done throughout his regime, is to go out and acquire players in trades to stock the roster and also make up for things like the loss of three straight first-round picks.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Is Watson going to play on Saturday?
Oh, boy. I don't know for sure, but it seems like it's trending towards him not playing in this game on Saturday night. So at this very moment, I guess I would say no. But again, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I mean, based on the events of the last 6 days, it seems like that's the way that it's going. And at this point, I don't think I would play him myself.
All right, Mary Kay, that is where we're at right now based on what went down yesterday. Now, tell us that we're overreacting when we say that that gets us, the information yesterday, gets us back to the point where we're not as confident as we were hoping for going into week one against Dallas with him in his arm.
You know, I don't think all that much has changed with Deshaun Watson heading into the opener. I did watch him complete a really nice ball over the middle to Jerry Jeudy yesterday, and then he stopped practicing after that. But that was, I think, the plan going in. I don't think he felt something in the arm and then said, oh, I have to stop practicing right now. I don't think it was like that. I think they decided, let's rest him. Let's give this a look and see what we want to do here. And the other thing, and they're not going to come right out and say this, but the second part of the equation is the fact that they have issues at left tackle. And what is everyone going to say, what are they going to say and do if their left tackle woes result in an injury to Deshaun Watson? So it might not be prudent to play him in this game for that reason, too.
Mary Kay, I'd honestly rather them say, and we're media, we're conduits with the fans. I'd rather them say that they have issues at left tackle and then say not play him, because when you say that he has arm soreness, I think it threw a lot of fans into either uh-oh mode or rationalization mode, and the people who are trying to rationalize it, they were being yelled at by those who were cynical about it. I think the hit, there's been a hit to the morale overnight with some of these fans.
Well, have you ever heard a team express a lack of confidence in a position or in a player, especially heading into a game where a player is going to have to go out there and perform against another NFL team? That's really just not something you can do, and I don't know that they should have done that. So, you know, I don't think they're going to say, you know, geez, we just don't feel good about Jermaine Afidi. You know, he's probably going to get Deshaun killed in this game. And if he goes down, then we've got to go with Laurent. I mean, could they very well have done that? I don't think so.
I agree. In a lot of ways, I agree with you. But I would say, hey, he's getting his first reps in a while. We're down a couple of guys. We're working back Jed. And we saw him with trainers yesterday working. We were working back Jack Conklin. We'll ask you about that in a second. Before we feel comfortable, we need to get him work, and that means we're not going to put our, they wouldn't say our $230 million quarterback, but we're not going to put our franchise quarterback out there behind him.
But you're putting lipstick on the pig. Basically, you're still saying that we do not trust the guy that we're putting out there at left tackle, and we're willing to sacrifice Jameis Winston, but we are not willing to sacrifice Deshaun Watson. I just don't know if they could have done that. And maybe the messaging could have been a little bit different somehow, but I'm sure that Deshaun probably could have used a little bit of time off with the arm. He threw 15 out of 16 days in training camp. Perhaps that was a little bit much to begin with, But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to give him a little bit of rest.
All right, so for you, Mary Kay, based on what you are saying, is you still have the same confidence levels in Deshaun Watson going into this season that you did when you first saw him down at Greenbrier?
Yes. Really, this doesn't change that for me. It doesn't change it for me because I've watched him make every single throw in training camp. And I've said many times, sometimes it's been inconsistent. But when you say same level, it doesn't mean on a scale of 1 to 10 that I've been at a 10 this whole entire time. It just means that the events of yesterday haven't really changed how I feel about how he's done so far.
Could Jack Conklin end up playing left tackle?
Absolutely, and I've been writing that for a long, long time. For, you know, throughout all of training camp, I have been mentioning Jack Conklin as a possible and viable option at left tackle. And I've been writing that because he started 36 of his 39 games at Michigan State at left tackle. So he knows that position. It won't be hard for him. And then we also saw him in the offseason proclaim himself healthy and ready to go. So I would not be surprised if Jack Conklin is out there at left tackle at some point if Jed is not ready.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. As we get closer to the season, we are still wondering what's going on with Nick Chubb. Seems like every different analyst has a different opinion on when he'll be available. What do you think the realistic expectation should be?
Well, as of this moment, he is still in play for one of the first four games of the season, and I think that's what the Browns have to determine and their medical staff has to determine. Is he going to be available, not just for the opener, because that almost seems right now like that's a reach, but could he possibly play in one of those first four games? And if he can't, then he will go on IR, possibly on cut-down day on August 27th, when you can choose two guys that day to be designated for return that don't count against the roster. So that's definitely something that will be in play. I still think, I guess he has a chance to play in one of those first four games, but the fact that we haven't seen him out there at all in practice, it may be a little bit longer than that.
Elijah Moore was on yesterday with the afternoon show here on 92.3 The Fan, and he just talked about settling into his role and what kind of season he's looking forward to. What kind of a season do you think Elijah Moore is going to have here with the Browns?
Well, he's been one of the most consistent of the top three receivers from a health standpoint. He's been out there pretty much every single day, getting more reps than anybody, getting opportunities on those choice routes, which are so vitally important. And he looks to me like he's elevated his game from last year. He knows his role. They know what they want to do with him. They've kind of honed it and refined it. So I think he's poised to have an even better season than he had last year. And for, you know, by some metrics, it was one of his best seasons of his career. So I think he'll do more. I think one area that he needs to pick it up is in catching touchdown passes. But, of course, you have to get the opportunities. You can't catch them if they're not thrown to you. But I think he's someone that can get in the end zone more. So I would look for that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here. All right, I want to name some names and ask you if they're safe or not safe. It's not a game. I just thought of it right off the top of my head. Here we go.
Playing with people's lives and their contracts, Mary Kay. Very sad that Ken treats these athletes the way he does. Go ahead, Kenny.
Did you ask her a question about Denzel Ward?
No.
Yeah, go ahead and ask her a question about Denzel Ward that you want to ask.
Fans are wondering if he should step away from football, Mary Kay.
Fans are wondering, or Anthony Lima 2023?
I support Denzel, and I know as a responsible adult, he will be able to make the decision he wants to make.
Because that was old Lima who would have wondered that, but new Lima would just blame it on the fans. Okay, Mary Kay, please, thoughts on Denzel Ward?
Well, I think that at this point, Denzel will have to do what he's always done. He'll consult with his family. He'll consult with his doctors. He does his research. And if he feels that that he'll be fine and that the long-term effects won't be any worse than they would have been back at concussion two, concussion three, then I think he'll continue on with his football career. At this point, I don't see any signs that he's thinking about not doing that. And I just, in talking to Denzel all of these years since 2018 about this topic, he feels most of the time that he's going to be fine and this is not going to be an issue for him.
Can I do safe or not safe now, Anthony, with some of these positions that I think people are wondering? Okay, here we go. Jamari Thrash, safe or not safe?
Safe.
Nice. Okay. Siaki Ika, safe or not safe?
You know, I haven't done my 53 yet. I will be doing that one probably when I'm in a hotel room in Seattle over the next couple of days. And he's one that I'm going to have to think a little bit about. I know that Andrew Berry really loves to give his draft picks every single chance to succeed and to develop, but there's a numbers game there at defensive tackle, so I will have a little bit of a hard time with that one.
Miles Harden.
I'm going to say yes on Miles Harden. I think Miles has had a really nice camp. I think he played well against the Vikings in those two joint practices, and I think he's worth hanging on to.
David Bell.
I'm still going to say yes on David Bell. I know a lot of people have David off the team. David has a quad injury right now, so maybe he's someone that ends up on IR or something like that. But I'm going to say yes on David Bell.
Juwan Briggs.
I don't know for sure on Juwan. He's someone, as I mentioned with Siaki, that could possibly get caught up in a little bit of a numbers game. So he could end up on the practice squad, and I think that they might be able to keep him there. So I don't know for sure about him.
Real quick, and I mean real quick, who do you think they hold on to? Not an opinion. But who do you think they hold on to, Tyler Huntley or Dorian Thompson-Robinson?
I'm going to say Dorian. I feel like they've really loved Dorian since the day they drafted him, and they see that he's elevated his game, and I think they believe that he's someone worth investing more time in.
Mary Kay, can't thank you enough for the time. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.